The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Right now, though, I want to talk about COVID and what's predicted to happen on October 22nd. People should work from home where possible right throughout the autumn and winter, so says Dr. Ronan Glynn today, the Deputy CMO. And just to catch you up on what the rules currently are, since September 20th, there's been a staggered return to offices with certain rules applying, and then all remaining restrictions were due to be lifted next Friday. Now, that has been called into question. Of course, everything's been called into question next Friday, but specifically the rules around offices called into question by Ronan Glynn today. Well, Sam McConkey is an infectious disease specialist with the Royal College of Surgeons Ireland, and he joins me now. Sam, it's good to talk to you. Paul Moynagh, the immunologist in NUI Maynooth, was on with News Talk Breakfast today, and he was talking about this overall rise in cases and hospitalizations, and he said, listen, it was to be expected. You know, a post-vaccination increase in cases has happened in other jurisdictions. This is the same thing here.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing now, to a large extent, is that the 10% of the adult population who are not yet vaccinated are not just getting COVID, but unfortunately, some of them are getting quite sick enough to need hospitalisation. And as you know, some are ending up in ICU and some are dying. And that was inevitable once we open up, as we've done, I think quite rightly over the last 6 months, that the folk who are not either previously infected or vaccinated have a very high chance of getting it. And that's going to continue, I think, until, you know, a large number of those unvaccinated or very vulnerable people. There's unfortunately some people who are, you know, maybe post-transplant who are ongoing vulnerability, and, you know, with the vaccines, they just don't have an immune system to protect themselves. So I see quite a lot of, you know, 3,000 to 8,000 hospitalizations gradually, perhaps, over the next number of months. The question is, do we want that all to happen quickly in the next month or two in October, November, December, or is it better to slow it down maybe over 6 or 8 months by using some ongoing social distancing? Maybe I see the folk that are non-vaccinated more as sort of late adopters. You know, there's new technology like a mobile phone. Some people get it quickly, some people get it in the middle, and some late. So I think a lot of them will be late adopters and still go for it as they realise that it really has helped. And hopefully there'll be new tools, small molecules. Merck announced 1-2 weeks ago that if you take this little tablet, it protects you from getting very severe COVID. And I'm hoping there'll be more of those small molecule inhibitors of SARS-CoV-2 replication that come on the market over the next few months that'll make things better next year.
So would it be your own personal preference that you do spread it out over the winter and you don't let it all happen at once, and that maybe some restrictions remain post October 22nd? Well, some are going to remain anyway, I suppose. We shouldn't suggest that it was going to be kind of all caution thrown to the wind. We were still going to be wearing masks in certain situations.
And a lot of individuals are using their own good sense to say, well, I don't want to catch it. I think if we let it all go fast in the next 3 months with a lot of infections, then unfortunately it'd be very, very stressful for those of us working in the health sector. And it won't overwhelm it, but it would almost displace the care that people with pneumonia, with influenza, with broken hips should be getting, because all the beds and ICU beds will be full of people with COVID. And that means then other important things are not able to happen, and, you know, waiting lists get longer and so on, as they have, of course, the last year and a half. So doing it in a fast way, I think, would be very, very stressful and displace good care for people with other conditions, you know, who need that care.
You'd want to be fairly convinced, though, wouldn't you, that if we went down this route, that on the other side of winter, the cases would come down and it would be manageable. Because you can't move the goalposts again if you're going to move them on the nightclub industry, for instance.
Yeah, that I fully accept that. I do feel, though, in this whole COVID, one thing we've learned is that predicting what will happen in 3, 6 or 12 months' time is very, very difficult. So you can get some idea of the short-term impacts of what we do for maybe 1 to 3 months. But this thing has, you know, done lots of unexpected twists and turns with alpha variant, with delta variant. Then the vaccine's coming much quicker than certainly I ever thought they would. And again, I'm delighted with these small molecules coming on the market and looking for licensing much quicker than I expected.
Sorry, Sam, just sorry to interrupt you there, but for people maybe who didn't see that story about this Merck development, this is a COVID treatment, isn't it?
It is. It's a tablet, a bit like, you know, the hepatitis C drugs that are out there that really cure hepatitis C, or there are good HIV drugs that have transformed HIV in the last 25 years. These are like sort of small molecules like aspirin. And if you get COVID, you take them, it prevents you getting very sick. And that's what we all want. So these inhibit the replication of the virus. And this is the first of what I hope is a stream of these improving effective treatments, a bit like antibiotics, the invention of antibiotics, you know, penicillin. It's the equivalent of penicillin, except it works for this particular virus, SARS-CoV-2.
In terms of next Friday, then, some mitigation measures might spread that impact amongst the unvaccinated over the winter. What would be the effective mitigation measures to do that? You mentioned some social distancing. The other thing that government are possibly looking at is the abandonment of social distancing as planned, but vaccine passes would be kept in place and would be imposed on the nightclub industry.
Yeah, I won't get into specific ones. That's a very, very difficult question, and it depends on things like the age profile of people who have been vaccinated, the age profile of people who are hospitalised, the age profile of people in ICU, and I don't have that micro data to try and see which segments of the population are presently being affected in the most adverse way, and then to judge what public health interventions could protect that subgroups best. So that's a very detailed technical question. I'd be reluctant to prognosticate on it, Kieran, because I don't think I'd do a good job on it. So yeah. I'd say nothing on that. But I do think it's wise to continue a cautious approach, but I wouldn't be comfortable being drawn on the sort of specifics.
Okay. And just again, I want to just go back then finally just to a point you made, because it echoes the point that Pete Lund, the behavioural economist, made yesterday. And he was talking about maybe the soft vaccine resistance that exists amongst the 300,000 unvaccinated, that, you know, that there may be people who, you referred to them as late adopters. He talked about people maybe who did have an intention to get vaccinated, but then once everyone around them was vaccinated and society opened up, they never got around to it. I mean, if you get that cohort done, that gets us an awful lot closer to the finish line, doesn't it?
That would. I think a lot of the people who are not presently fully vaccinated in Ireland fit into exactly that. It's just sort of haven't got around to it. Especially, you know, a lot of younger people, their lives are back to normal in many ways, and they're not really thinking about COVID maybe so much at this stage, which is great. I'm delighted that that's the situation we're in. But I would encourage the unvaccinated to, if you're even conceiving about it, please go and do it now. Don't be saying, oh, I'll get that. I'd be a very late adopter of that technology. Right. Just see it like smartphone or G4 or G3, 3G phones. You know, we eventually all get one. Most of us get one. So I think many will continue. There's a small increment every day in the number of vaccinated, and I'm hoping that another month or two that would get higher.
Yeah, all right. Good advice. And it's easy to do. If you go onto the HSE website, you can get an appointment right now on your phone. You can do it. Sam McConkie, infectious disease specialist with the Royal College of Surgeons, Ireland. Sam, good to talk to you.